Good evening and welcome to Ram Nation Radio on Mile High Sports, AM 1550, KDCO, FM 94.1 in Denver and 96.9 in Boulder. I am Joel Cantalamessa. We have got a lot of great stuff to talk about. Holy cow, the Las Vegas Bowl invitation came out last weekend. It's only 8 days away now. Wow, it goes quick. When you're one of these early bowl games, there's really not that big lead into the bowl game season. They really only had about 12 days to prepare, practice-wise. But by this time next week, we'll be in Las Vegas, so that's exciting. We'll bring on Garrett Grayson in the second segment, just a few minutes away, to talk about the bowl game, the team's mind frame, and the aftermath of the departure of Coach McElwain, how they're looking ahead to this bowl game and how they'll play. And we'll talk about the matchup a little bit, as well as Garrett's stellar career and much, much more. The Board of Governors officially greenlit the on-campus stadium, so that's talk that we'll probably won't dig much into that today, but over the coming weeks and months, that is going to be a major topic. That's very exciting news and a game changer for this university. But we'll start today's show with a big congrats to the CSU men's basketball team. Just a couple nights ago, they went on the road and knocked off CU, who was projected as the number three team in the Pac-12. And CSU has improved to 9-0. It's their best start in school history. 9-0. They own an RPI of 10. Despite that, they're still not getting the great respect in the polls. They're number 33 in the AP, number 40 in the coaches' poll. But those rankings will be updated on Monday, and the Rams should make a decent push there. What a great, great event that was. A great crowd. I got to give credit to CU and their students in particular. It pains me to say that, because you know that I have great disdain for them. But, man, they jam-packed that arena. The students were into it for a good 10 minutes before tip-off and extremely loud the entire game. Just a great, great atmosphere. They had some good signs. I got to give credit. One guy had a good sign. It said, CSU, where people pay $2 million to leave. So that's pretty creative. That's pretty funny. It made me laugh a little bit. They do their typical anti-CSU chants, and they're definitely can get a little nasty. But overall, they weren't overly vulgar or anything like that. There were no personal attacks. So I've definitely seen it worse there, and I've definitely seen it worse at Folsom and Sports Authority Field in Denver. But it was a great atmosphere. And despite that hostile environment and getting out-rebounded by 14, which is unusual, CU did a great job on the boards, and especially despite shooting a terrible 53% from the free throw line, including several key misses down the stretch, CSU held on for dear life and picked up just a huge key win against a pretty good Buffaloes team. JJ Avila, what a beast he was. 19 points in the game, but more importantly, I mean, he really just took over the game down the stretch. With Spartan, with about 9.5 minutes left, I can think of a play where CU had an entry pass to the low block, and he anticipated that, tipped it away, and as it was going a good 5 feet out of bounds, he leapt and kind of saved it all in one fell swoop, threw it back in bounds, and as the Rams were on a breakaway, JJ hustled his butt back down the court, got the dish, did a little oop-de-oop underhanded lay-in with the foul for a three-point play. That was such a huge swing there because it was a possession where CU had a chance to go to tie the game, and instead the Rams went up five with that three-point play. So a huge seven-point swing there. And then with about 4.5 minutes left, he had another steal that led to the Rams going up six. And that was when the Buffs were kind of hanging there, and it looked like CSU had a chance to put them away, and the Buffs were clawing back. So that was a huge play. Buffs did end up clawing back with about 1.5 minutes left. Askia Booker hits a three to pull the Buffs within three, and then Joe Desiman on the other end hits a three of his own. Was kind of a huge answer. What a dagger that was. Despite the fact that CSU missed a couple key free throws down the stretch and some mind-boggling decisions, there was one inbounds play where JJ had broken away towards the hoop. Looked like it was going to be a breakaway dunk. He kind of hesitated, thought he was going to get fouled, and he wasn't. Then he misses the lay-in, and instead of eating up 35 seconds off the shot clock, he only ate up about five, and they turned the ball over. That was a big mistake. And then with just a couple seconds left, when Xavier Johnson was going in for a lay-in putback, I think it was Desiman who fouled him, and could have been a chance at a three-point play. Fortunately for the Rams, that one rolled out, and that pretty much ended the game right there. But some strange officiating calls both ways, but CCU overcame some untimely, unfortunate calls, and it was a great win. So 9-0 for the Rams. The reaction after the game was priceless. It was a great video put out by the athletic department showing the team's immediate reaction after the game in the locker room. So it's really good to see that excitement and passion coming from the players. As I said, best start in school history, and it comes at the expense of CU. So I had the good fortune in that game sitting right behind the Rams bench, thanks to a gracious invitation by Brett Anderson, CSU's vice president of advancement, and his wife, Dawn, who asked myself and my good buddy, John Ballard, to sit with them. And what a great vantage point it is to be right down there near the court. And Coach Eustace is entertaining to watch from no matter where you are in the arena. But when you're right there and you can hear most of his comments, it is pure entertainment. The way he interacts with his players, his coaches, and especially the refs, it's good stuff. So that was really neat. And then as the game ended, he came over to give Brett a hug, and we were kind of the secondary recipients of that. It was nice to be able to kind of give a high five to him and congratulate him in that moment. What a great win for him. And you could tell how much that really meant to him. He really wanted that game, and you could tell so did the players. You know, there's not much of a CSU presence in that arena, which is I thought there would be, because tickets were really hard to come by. Just a few weeks ago when the tickets went on sale and the general admission section sold out quick. So I thought CSU was going to have a good contingent, but apparently it was CU fans buying those up, because there was only small pockets of Ram fans here and there. It was neat to see a few former Ram basketball players sitting right down the aisle from us. Pierce Horning, Will Bell, Jesse Carr, and they were very much into the game. So basketball is on the rise at CSU, and now they've got Division II Arkansas Fort Smith. I'm not sure the backstory on why this game is on the schedule, but they come to town Saturday, 2 p.m. tip-off. They are 4-4 right now. They played an exhibition game to start the season against Utah State in the Mountain West. They gave them a good game. I think they lost by 7 or 8. And then they beat Southern Utah in an exhibition game. Southern Utah's in the WAC now. And then locally, they played games against UC Colorado Springs and Metro State, lost both of those. So it may be a bit of a letdown game emotionally coming off that win. I can't imagine the crowd's going to be anywhere remotely how it was at the Coors Event Center. But regardless, fans have got to get behind this team, and particularly the students. The students are the lifeblood of college athletics, and they help provide energy in an arena like that. And just look at what the students did at the Coors Event Center Wednesday. What an incredible atmosphere. CSU students and fans could really take a cue from that. I hate to give them that kind of credit, the Buffs that kind of credit, but you know, CSU fans have got to get on board. And as the season goes on and the Rams win more, you know, and the students come back from break here after the holidays, and Mountain West Conference play starts up, I hope to see that place rocking on a regular basis. Let's shift gears now to football. Rashard Higgins, how cool was that? Last night, Thursday night, Rashard Higgins named to the Walter Camp All-America First Team. What a great honor. So well-deserved. He leads all wide receivers in receiving yards, 149 receiving yards a game, and then in touchdowns, 17. He's second in receiving yards for the season in 1,640. So it's just an unbelievable season. He's shattered all the single-season records at CSU. And he's the first CSU player to earn first-team All-America honors since the late Anthony Cesario, which was in 1998. He's only the eighth Ram to earn a first-team All-America nod ever. So it just doesn't happen very often. It was really cool. How was it when he's in Orlando, and ESPN has their, you know, their red carpet, their pre-award show, and they're interviewing a lot of the candidates. He's there for the Biletnikoff Award. He was a finalist for the Biletnikoff Award, which goes to the nation's best receiver. You know, that award went to Alabama's Amari Cooper. But regardless, just him being there and getting that interview on ESPN, what a great attention getter. What a great putting CSU in the spotlight like that. Commentator Danny Cannell interviewed him on the so-called red carpet. He made note that Higgins is the only player from a non-Power 5 school. And, you know, he interviewed him about his hair, and he interviewed him about his nickname. But then he asked, you know, about getting the chance to go play Utah in the the Las Vegas Bowl and getting a chance to play a Pac-12 team. And Higgins, he said, you know, we want a chance to show that we can beat another Pac-12 team, particularly without our head coach. And then the interesting thing he said right at the end was we want to show, you know, that we can play in the Big 12. So that's interesting. That's something that's on the players' minds, is that this potential opportunity that the Big 12 is looking to expand and that CSU might be a candidate. It's interesting that the players have that, or that are aware of that kind of stuff. Obviously, that's fun for fans, but it was interesting to hear that come from Hollywood. So seeing him there and seeing CSU talked about amidst all those other major universities and big-time players, people who argue that athletics can't raise a school's profile obviously miss these kind of moments. So it's priceless. You can't pay for it. It was free advertising. Awesome stuff. Congratulations to Rashard Higgins. Meanwhile, Dr. Tony Frank is in full coach search mode. So it's going to be him and interim AD John Morris. And then you've got Brett Anderson also kind of serving there with that. They'll be like a triumvirate handling the search. And as you know, they've hired a search firm. And it's no doubt that search firm has provided a list of optimal candidates for CSU. But CSU already had their list, and they've had 50 to 60 applicants, many of which were very prominent names and guys that CSU no doubt will be targeting. But what that firm really does offer is cover. It helps with some anonymity. They can help set up meetings and interviews with these potential coaches and their agents and help book flights and hotels. And that way you minimize that media exposure. So you don't get a situation like with what happened with Florida's coaching search, that complete debacle the last couple of weeks. Question is, who will they target? And I think they'll give high consideration to hiring from within with Coach Baldwin. But at the end of the day, you know, I believe that CSU has seen what exposure and value came out of hiring a prominent big name like they did with Coach Jim McElwain. Because even in his departure, what that exposure did and CSU's name being all over ESPN and talk shows and national news outlets, they saw what that did as far as bringing the limelight to CSU, even in a departure of a coach. So they're going to see this as a big opportunity to make another splash. No matter what you think of CSU's chances for the Big 12, you're going to want to, I think they're just going to want to remain relevant and at the forefront, and they're going to want to hire a name, and they're going to want to hire a guy that can keep elevating the status of this program. There's a lot of good names out there. I'll throw out a couple that I've heard and that I think that will be high on their list. Scott Frost, offensive coordinator from Oregon. No doubt they're going to talk to him. Offensive coordinator Tom Herman from Ohio State. A defensive coordinator, Pat Narduzzi from Michigan State. I think those are three guys that they'll take a hard look at, and I think that those are guys that have had initial interest from at least what level, I don't know, but they are interested in pursuing talks with CSU. Maybe even Ed Orgeron, who didn't get the USC job after he did a good job as an interim there last year. He's out of coaching right now, but he's a guy that has ties to the Lubick family. There's a lot of good candidates out there. And so, you know, you mentioned the Big 12 aspirations, that's also at the forefront here. You know, a lot of discussion about what the Big 12 will do, getting snubbed in the college football playoff. And I'm told that the possibilities are very real. Now, where CSU would be on a list, I don't know. I would guess that they are probably in the top five or six of, you know, the non-power schools. You know, if the Big 12 were going to expand, you'd probably have to be in the top two at this point. I can't imagine them going beyond 12 at this point because they've been hesitant to split the financial pie any more than 10 already. So why would they go from 10 to 14 when all you need is 12 to do a conference championship game? But I do know CSU is making it known that they'd want to be at the top of the list. They've contacted each president, you know, the current commissioner, former commissioners, and everyone else that they can talk to. They're making it known that they'd like to be on the top of that list. So we got the Las Vegas Bowl on the horizon. Ticket sales haven't exactly been stellar. As of yesterday, it was about 3,000. I know there'll be more than that because a lot of people have been donating money towards the cause, and they'll send, they'll use those donations towards putting military members in those seats. So there'll be more than 3,000 people there. Hopefully people keep jumping on that. I know that a big hindrance has been airline tickets, the prices. I got in early before they even announced the game, so I got it at $265, but that later that day they went for $500 and then $700 and ultimately sold out. So that is that's been a hindrance, but there's lots of ways to do it. Go different days, get on Priceline, there's ways to get there. So it's important that we buy tickets for future bulk invitation consideration, as well as a show conference like the Big 12 that you do have fan support. So that's about all we got time for this break, but we got a great next segment. Garrett Grayson's coming aboard, so stay with us when we return. This is Ram Nation Radio on Mile High Sports.